Good morning on Tuesday, December 9th, 2014. This is Brian Madden, and you are listening to a special edition live podcast of BrianMadden.com team. I'm here. This is the first live podcast from our new studio in the Financial District of San Francisco. And I'm in an empty room because Jack is joining me from your apartment in San Francisco. Jack, how are you today?
That's correct, from the satellite studio of TechTarget San Francisco.
And the satellite studio in Omaha, Nebraska is Gabe Knuth. Good morning, Gabe.
Good morning.
And we also have from Herndon, Virginia, representing the East Coast, Ashok Sankar. He's the VP of Product Strategy and Management for Raytheon Cyber Products. So, Ashok, how are you today?
Doing very well, Brian. Thank you for inviting me to your show.
Yeah, well, thank you for... This is the third podcast we've done in this series, and... you know, we'll post links to the other two in the show notes, but you know, we've been talking about in this series sort of virtual mobile infrastructure. It's like VDI, but for mobile. That's not where you're using mobile devices as your client, but you're actually putting mobile devices in the cloud and then remoting those down. And there's security benefits and all that kind of stuff. And the first two podcasts were surprisingly interesting. And I say that because, you know, I always feel like when I talk about a topic of security, my eyes kind of glaze over and I think, oh, those are the people who wear sandals and don't let me do what I want to do. But it turns out that this whole virtual mobile infrastructure is pretty fascinating. And, you know, I'm clearly a fan of VDI. And so why wouldn't we do VDI for mobile? So I want to kind of pick up the conversation where we left off. And, you know, again, to you, Ashok, thank you for joining. And have you been since we talked last?
Doing very well. We have seen a lot of interest in our solution as we start to talk with people. Like you said, it's starting to ring a bell, resonate with a lot of folks, especially when people come to see that, you know, with tablets and with smartphones, they can do a lot more than just email and contact management and things like that. They want to be able to do case management type applications, you know, be able to access documents and things of that nature. And, you know, when it comes to the sensitive and confidential nature of such information, there is obviously security concerns and people want a way to, you know, manage that. So it's been great.
Yeah, and I think Jack and I have talked to, and Gabe about, I think VMI, virtual mobile infrastructure for us is kind of, I think I'm going to call it sort of like a tier one concept in my mind. It's something that I feel like, you know, when we first started talking about this, it was you guys that kind of introduced me to this concept. But, you know, I really feel like this is a big thing. So we'll get into that this on the show here.
Yeah, I agree. This is something that I've been getting excited about. I submitted some sessions for some conferences coming up about it. And if you're coming to Bri Forum next year, I think you might hear me talking about this some.
I think that's great. I think the virtual mobile infrastructure concept is something that is, like I said earlier, resonating with people. Like Brian, you said, it's a variation of VDI, where VDI is about desktop apps. VMI is about native mobile apps. That's something that's a very important difference, because as more and more people realize that you need native mobile apps to essentially have an optimized app on a mobile device, you know, to essentially, you know, harness the power of the various sensors that is there. You know, the development of native mobile apps is increasing, if you will, and so this is a very interesting concept for them.
Yeah, and we'll link to the other two conversations where we talked about this more at length. But, you know, focusing the conversation for today, you know, I want to sort of look at, you know, continue that conversation. But Jack, I want to start. You were actually at a Raytheon conference last week. I think that was last week, right?
Yeah, that was just last Wednesday in Western Virginia that I was at that Raytheon conference, and they had asked me there to give a talk about the state of enterprise mobility management in general. So it sort of, instead of a how EMM works or what we're trying to solve with EMM, I gave a talk that was sort of a what issues is EMM good at dealing with right now and what issues is EMM not good at dealing with right now. And one theme of it that I mentioned, and you know, when it comes to the applications itself, a few minutes ago when we were talking about VDI to mobile devices versus VMI to mobile devices. It reminded me of that conversation, or maybe an article, Brian, that you wrote once called, like, the thing that makes people annoyed with VDI is not trying to access Windows apps, applications from devices with mice and keyboards. It's trying to access Windows applications from devices with small screens and touch screens. And one of the very first things that I mentioned in this whole state of EMM thing is that, hey, we want to all take advantage of this mobility stuff, but our applications, they're Windows applications. And I said that just because you can get a Windows application to show up on a mobile device, whether it's a tablet that can run Windows apps or whether it's a VDI to a tablet, like a desktop application and what you want to do with a mobile app they're very different sets of tasks. And, you know, when you talk about like sitting down in front of an application for an hour to do work versus what you do for 15 or 30 seconds at a time on a mobile device. So sort of framing it in that idea that making something into a mobile app, it's more than just being able to get it to physically work. It's the entire like philosophy and what features and functionality you expose. And so I think that's another important thing to always remember as we're looking at VDI and VMI.
That's very true. And in fact, Jack, your talk there, we appreciate you coming out to our cybersecurity summit last week. In fact, your keynote was very well received. You know, we got a lot of positive feedback about what you had to say and the topic areas, because, you know, it was kind of also leading edge in a way for people to think beyond, you know, just what they're using today and some of the solutions to some of the problems that they're facing, especially from the application area. And you're right. One of the things that we've also started to hear from people is that, you know, by repurposing Windows apps, you know, they are keyboard and mouse oriented, suboptimal on a device. And especially within government agencies, there were some pilots that happened, evaluations, and the end users kind of returned the devices and said, this is not working for us. So there are areas where people are looking for a very rich experience, but at the same time, make sure that their data is secure.
Yeah, I also, speaking of the conference, thanks so much for that feedback, but it was also pretty interesting to see, you know, the whole picture of what Raytheon is doing. You know, I learned about some things, and of course, Brian, I think you mentioned in some of your previous podcasts about the way that you know, some of these federal environments worked. But I learned about interesting technologies, and you know, the ins and outs of dealing with you have your high side secure network, and that was pretty interesting. But you mentioned applications, and one of the interesting conversations that I had at a conference was with somebody that said, hey, before, you know, their phone was somebody on the VMI product team, and they said before you know, their phone, it was still, even though it was 2014 for work stuff, it was pretty much just email and calendaring and all the usual, but that with the VMI that had sort of there weren't within the VMI environment, there are since you have the whole entire server based instance of Android, you don't have to worry about jumping through all sorts of special hoops to lock down individual applications. Because you have the whole secure hosted instance of Android, and so this person on the product team that I was talking to, he's saying, like, all these other applications that he was able to do in his VMI environment that he wasn't able to do in his native phone environment.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, this is a very interesting piece, because in many corporations, you know, there's more of a lockdown environment. If you take, for example, an MDM or a secure container type solution, right, there are certain things that you are allowed to do and certain things you're not allowed to do, especially at Raytheon, for example, you know, because of the policies that we have, and you know, for good reason, you know, we are only we're kind of restricted to certain apps that we can use. But you know, right now, when you look at apps, there's all kinds of apps to do a lot of different things, especially office type apps, if you will. In a VMI environment, you essentially have to just virtualize them. And what we are able to do is essentially have a complete workflow, a day in the life kind of a scenario. I'm sitting at an airport and I have access to my VMI through the wireless network there. And I'm able to open my email. I'm able to open an attachment from the email. I'm able to save it away to SharePoint, all from within that VMI environment without me having to go from app to app to app. And then I'm able to edit it, and I'm going to save it back. And then I can now pull that and then resend it to somebody else. So it's essentially a complete workflow that we can do. I just gave you a very rudimentary piece, if you will. And in many cases, in a lockdown device environment, that is not possible. You have to go to maybe discrete places if you had access to those apps, or wait until you came to a, you know, came to a place where you can connect to your laptop or things like that.
Well, this is kind of getting to one of the true benefits of, I guess, what we traditionally called server-based computing, as it applies to Windows apps. But of course, the same thing, you know, VDI, VMI, all these kinds of things. Is I think the bigger point is that if all your secure apps are running in a secure instance, you know, in some data center, then the client device, the security of the client device doesn't really matter that much. So now, like, we saw the same thing with server-based computing and VDI, where before we had to have all the machines were domain joined and they had policy managed and locked down. You couldn't do this and couldn't do that and had to have antivirus and all this kind of stuff. And if instead you deliver the desktop via VDI, you're like, you know what? You go ahead and use your virus-riddled, you know, garbage machine, whatever, with whatever you want on it. If that makes you happy, go for it. I don't care. And the same thing is true with the phone, is that instead of putting all these, you know, security protections on the phone and making that, you know, locked down and restrictive, and the user can't do what they want, and they can't use the apps that they don't want to, and they're going to, you know, have all that kind of stuff, remote wipe and everything, now you don't need any of that because it's all running the secure environment. And again, you can have if a user roots their phone and has all these crazy apps on it, then okay, go for it. I mean, you know, everything else we need to do that's we care about is running in our secure instance, which is not on the actual phone.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. The state of the device really does not matter at that point in time. And, you know, it is the security of the data and the apps that essentially is in the forefront. And as long as that is secure, and more importantly, if the user experience is not compromised, right, which again is a issue with some of these device level components that people put on there, you know, as long as the user experience is not compromised, you know, you're good to go.
You know, that's a funny phrase, talking about the user experience being compromised. Because in the context of security, we always talk about how, you know, things get compromised and we want to be careful about our systems getting compromised and everything. And there's that old adage about, you know, security versus usability. They're sort of like, you know, mutually exclusive or inversely proportional, I guess. And in this case, it is like, yeah, we can make your device, if you want to make it so you don't compromise the device, we compromise the user experience. And that's the traditional approach.
Well, so speaking of compromised devices, Ashok, in the pilots and the people at Raytheon that are running the VMI right now, are there any restrictions right now, or that you're placing on the pilot users?
No.
Like, can I come in with my jailbroken iPhone or my $49 tablet that I bought at CVS, or my CyanogenMod tablet? Anything is fair game?
Anything is fair game. We don't even care what the state of the device is at that point in time. As long as it's an OS that we support, I believe it's Android 4.2 and above on the Android side, and then iOS 6 and above, you know, you're good to go.
Oh, yeah, and mentioning I think that's since we talked last time. You have the iOS client out now.
Yes, we do.
And to be clear, this is iOS. So your all the apps that they're connecting to. I think we talked about this on the last show. All the apps that they're connecting to are running on Android. So the corporate image, quote unquote, is an Android image. And then you remote that image down to the client, and the client can be, that's where it's Android or iOS.
That's correct.
And then, of course, but we talk about it, you know, accessing an Android app from an iPhone is fine because when you're within the app, you don't care about like what platform the app is running on the back end. You care that the key is that you're using one mobile device to access an app made for a mobile device. So the buttons are big, they're made for your fingers, you know, all that kind of stuff.
Absolutely. We can support all the gestures that you're comfortable with and you're used to on your mobile device.
Yeah.
Well, so my question is, two questions, I guess. First is, I wonder if the Android that you're using as the operating system for the that's hosted, if you can sort of skin that in a way so that it's less sort of a little bit more neutral in appearance, so it doesn't look, you know, I wonder if it's a better idea to like to skin it to make it so it looks like a generic mobile device as possible, so that the users don't even, maybe they don't even specifically know that they're dealing with an Android OS, so that's more a neutral environment that looks familiar to both iOS and Android users.
Yeah, that pretty much is our approach, if you will. We want to try to make it look as native as possible, but as long as, you know, it's intuitive enough in areas where people can use it, you know, and get their tasks done, I think we have achieved our goal.
And by native, do you mean like native? It looks very much like native Android.
Yes, yes.
Okay.
It looks like native Android, and we tried to make it look like iOS on the iOS side. It's essentially at the client side.
Oh, interesting. So the different clients then are they're reskinning some parts of the operating system experience?
Where possible, yes. Yes, we do that. And the other thing is to make sure that the clients, you know, can function on those specific devices. The clients are the OS specific. So we have an iOS client and we have an Android client.
You know, the other interesting thing is, as like all the mobile OSs move towards the same set of UI conventions, and let's see, big, bright, colorful squares. a nice thin sans serif font, and you know, how big is the difference really these days anyway?
Yeah.
Well, and each app does its own thing too. I mean, like, you know, the native, I mean, I use Gmail. I use the actual Gmail app on my iPhone, as well as the native mail app for my work mail. And those are both native iOS apps, but they're still different. Like, I can't tell you how much I want to have right to left swipe to delete emails in my Gmail app. They're trying to do that now that iOS has that. So the concept that I'm using different apps, even for the same thing, like I've got two different apps, but they're both for email, but they behave a little bit differently. That's just, like, I think users are used to that because that's just kind of the way it works for different apps.
And right. Also, now that all the major operating systems are, you know, like iOS isn't quite so round and bubbly anymore. Now that everything is pretty flat, it's kind of like flat is flat no matter what operating system it's on. Now, the interesting thing that comes is, so if you're developing an internal app, this means, like, of course you have the right ones. You just write the Android version and it runs everywhere. And it was occurring to me, like, I wonder, you know, people, they always talk about when they develop apps, they a lot of apps come out on the iOS way, on iOS first and Android second, and developers say, like, well, we could make the Android app have more functionality, but we wanted it to have parity with the more restrictive iOS app. But if you're developing just for Android only, it seems like maybe you have some more options for flexibility. Plus, hey, you don't need to replicate your efforts. So it's all those traditional benefits of write once, run anywhere. It seems like if you have to pick one OS to stick with to develop your apps for, like Android is the good one to have it be.
Right, right. I mean, that's what we have done. We essentially developed it in the Android APK, and then now you can redisplay that because it's running in the back end, and you know, all you do is redisplay them to your iOS or your Android device. And the key thing here is the cost benefit. One of the things that we found out when we were looking into this, you know, people were trying to take the, you know, the shortest investment path, so to speak. You know, can I just wrap things, even though it might be a little suboptimal, can I just take a Windows app and redisplay that, or you know, send it to a mobile device? And you know, that was falling short when it came to the user experience, so to speak. But now, you know, they don't have to build it twice, right? They still build it once, just optimize it based on the client, and then they're ready to go. So I think it speaks to an ability for them to accelerate some of the development efforts so they can have native apps and that native user experience.
You know, funny thing is, this occurring to me right now is that between Brian, Gabe, and me, none of the three of us happen to be mobile developers right now. So it'd be interesting to hear the perspective of an actual developer in the trenches.
No, absolutely. I'm not a developer either. So I'm going by my long conversations with our development team, right? And some of the things that we've also kind of talked with our customers, you know, people who are looking to pilot and people who are, you know, checking this out.
Yeah, well, so the customers is that's a good question, because I'm curious. You know, it seems like the common knowledge is that in enterprise mobility, the number of companies that still today in the end of 2014 are building their own apps on their own is just not very many at all. Of course, you know, we all use the calendars and the emails on our mobile devices these days, and the other apps that we use for work. I don't know about you guys, Brian and Gabe, but like the other apps that I use for work on my mobile device, it's a little bit of Dropbox, a little bit of Evernote, a little bit of Google Drive and Concur. But certainly, you know, the three of us, we don't have any internal tech target developed mobile apps that we're using. And so it seems like today it's still very early in terms of most companies developing their own internal mobile apps. Do you have any of your Ashok? Do you have any of the customers that are piloting this that have their own internally developed apps that they're doing for this project? Or I'm sure they have lots of exciting things that they can't tell us about.
Yeah, there are, you know, actually there is one app that I have in mind that people are looking at that I really can't speak about. It's from a law enforcement agency. But, you know, one of the things that we found is that, you know, you have a certain idea of what the solution can do. And when you kind of go to somebody and explain it to them and they find a completely different use case for it, you know, that's one of the exciting parts about this, you know, talking about internal apps, talking about the kind of scenarios it can actually accelerate. It's just exciting to see that. You know, there is a law enforcement agency who's using it for a particular purpose that essentially allows them to legally comply, you know, all the parties to legally comply with some of the sets of rules that they have. To your point, I mean, there is a lot of people who are looking at this and saying, how can we enable other types of apps on this stuff? Case management obviously comes to mind. Patient records, you know, a doctor accessing information about a patient, you know, healthcare, you know, financial records, or intellectual property type information, you know, in the case of pharmaceuticals. There's, you know, the list goes on and on in this case. I was moderating a panel yesterday. You know, it was set up by the GTRA, Government Technology Research Alliance, and they had a lot of CISOs and CIOs from the government attend. And I was moderating a mobility panel, and one of the panelists said, you know, when we first started out, it started out with emails and things like that, but now there are folks coming back and providing them with ideas on some of the applications that this could enable, meaning like a mobile device could enable, and then you know, some additional things that they were not able to do in the traditional world that this could also enable. So those things, you know, if you start to talk about them, you know, they also have a purpose, if you will, with the VMI.
I want to get into the customers a little bit, but first, you know, on this point about the mobile app development, you know, as you're saying this, I'm kind of thinking that and granted, you know, VMI in general, I mean, it's not just about companies developing their own apps. I mean, certainly there are, you know, plenty of like just like with VDI, you know, that's kind of the whole point is we have all these existing commercial apps that we buy and we need to deploy those to users, and VDI, VMI is a way to do that.
Right.
And, you know, Jack, you're talking about how maybe there's not that many mobile apps being developed. I wonder if we'll ever get there, because if you look at the world, I mean, the world where most of these custom, brand new, from scratch desktop apps were developed, like that was a different world. A lot of these apps have a legacy, you know, going back 20 years, and 20 years ago, there just weren't as many apps, and, you know, if you wanted more custom things, there weren't as many app frameworks and that kind of stuff, and if you wanted something custom, you just had to kind of build it yourself. But I kind of feel like the world has moved on now where, I mean, you almost don't even have to develop your own app from scratch, like, ever anymore. And even if you do need your own functionality, you're going to find an existing application, like, framework or something like that you're going to take and then customize. And I wonder if that same kind of thing is true in the mobile space where, you know, there's so many, like, even if you wanted your own custom, you know, case management app or event management or user, you know, sales management, like, there's all these existing, you know, client-server frameworks and databases and all this kind of stuff, and they have sort of clients. It's almost like the, you know, where you download a generic client from the app store that's like some database front end, and then you sort of just customize that. So you're not developing your own app from scratch per se. You know, you're more just taking sort of like other frameworks and other apps that exist and just sort of customize them to your environment.
Yeah, that definitely is an option. It definitely is a possibility. But I think the key thing when you break down this app development, what I'm more focused on is two separate areas. One is from a mobility perspective or a mobile device perspective, you know, taking advantage of the various sensors that you have, right? How will that kind of, integrate within this app? In a previous case, it might not have been. Maybe audio and video, for example, you know, or even the GPS, you know, your location coordinates. Now you can integrate them directly into your app. In previous generations, you know, they were discrete and you had to put them together, you know, someplace else. The other side of it is this data itself, the data security itself, right? I mean, with mobile devices, going back to the concept of the VMI, you're trying to keep it in the back end so it is secure based on the type of data that you're dealing with.
Yeah, it's kind of like, I mean, I guess now you can look at that. So if you are developing an app, and this goes back to the use case for mobile, and you want like your own app for your insurance agents in the field or the insurance, I don't know, whatever happens when a tree falls in your car. And, you know, mm-hmm. The app now can just fire up the camera and you can just take all the pictures of the damage and it puts the photos directly into the app. It timestamps them. It uses the GPS for location and just has kind of everything going there. And I guess now if you want that, that's just like one command, you know, from the developer standpoint, get location, get camera image, you know, that's it.
Yeah.
And you could.
Oh, I was going to say where this all comes together is, you know, so Ashok, you were mentioning, the different sensors and the different things that we have, and that's you know, these devices, of course, yeah, they have sensors that that our desktop applications don't know what to do with. So in that sense, like we can sort of anticipate a gold rush, if you will, of hey, what can we do with building new apps that we have now that we have these new sensors available. But Brian, as you were mentioning, as the different app development platforms and sort of the future of building mobile apps from scratch, you might remember this is something that I spent quite a bit of time investigating this summer, like the mobile app development platforms. And that is a good question, like, will there be a huge rush of custom mobile app development? Because as some of these mobile app development platform vendors, you know, they might even have a lot of them are starting to have like pre-built components, but it's not a compiled app, but it's sort of you know, you take the components and customize it as you need it, and then compile the application. Or if you just look at the huge number of business-oriented apps that that IBM will supposedly be making, for example. But then the challenge, of course, is deploying these and getting these all to work together in a secure environment, and that's where VMI comes in. Another big part of my talk back at the event last week was emphasizing how VMI is sort of this new in-between middle type of mobile app management. And Ashok and I were talking about this a little bit before the call. We know for years we've talked about mobile app management meant having special enterprise-oriented versions of apps, and whether that meant getting them from a mobile app management vendor themselves or preparing them with an app wrapping tool or building them with an SDK. We talked about having like specialized apps. And then a year or 2 years ago, we started talking about having specialized devices that have the devices or that have mobile app management frameworks built into the device. So you can take sort of any app and plunk it down into that container on that device. And of course, that solves some of those problems that you don't need to have special special enterprise-oriented apps anymore. But then you're putting all of your trust in the device. And with iOS, you still have to manage the device, which is managing BYOD iOS devices is still, now that we're 7 years into this, or in 7 years, 8 years, 7 years into this having iPhones thing, this managing BYOD is still very hotly debated. So we see that this having a specialized device has its downfalls too. And for high security environments, the biggest one is that you're putting your trust into a mobile device that fundamentally we can't get underneath the skin. We can't get under the hood of this mobile device the way that we can with a Windows desktop. So to figure out whether or not we can trust any particular mobile device, we can look at what other applications are on the device, or we can sort of poke at some APIs to try to see if the device is jailbroken or something. But of course, that's not exactly foolproof. So what I'm getting at in a roundabout way is that we have these two main categories of mobile app management, with either special apps or special devices, each with their trade-offs. But now with this VMI stuff, we're finding that way to get in between and avoid both of those trade-offs.
So
there you have a quick 3-minute version of about the middle 20-minute chunk of what I did back at the event last week.
So when you talk about the VMI and where it can solve, so we talk about a lot of the use cases in the secure space. There's use cases around BYO. There's use cases around just making employees happier because they can do whatever they want, on quote unquote their devices, that kind of thing. There's a question posted in the chat about customers, and specifically like federal customers. I mean, Ashok, I know Raytheon does a lot of government contracting and is very big in the federal space. Is this your customer? Well, first of all, this product is out now. Like, you actually have live customers that paid you money and it's in production, right?
We have pilot customers right now. We have people evaluating it, and they're doing pilot implementations, things of that nature.
Yeah. And then are you targeting just the federal space for this? Do you see a commercial?
No. We see a large application. It's very interesting you should bring it up, because, Jack was mentioning about the high side, low side earlier, which essentially, his terminology comes from our cross-domain information assurance solution space, right? And, you know, this whole concept of having a VMI kind of came from there. And, you know, the idea was to say, you know, there's going to be different types of endpoints, right, especially in the Intel and Department of Defense communities. You know, we have taken care of laptops, workstations. What about mobile devices? How are we going to allow access to mobile devices in a cross-domain environment across different classified networks, right? That's how we started the whole thing. And when you started talking to people, analysts and a few other people, you know, in the industry, and we started to socialize the concept of this VMI, and they said, have you taken it to healthcare? Have you taken it to financial services? Have you taken it to this place, that place? And so we said, well, I thought they were all happy with secure containers and MDM. They said, like, no, that's not necessarily true. They're just starting out with email and things like that. There is a lot of people who are still not content with data security, even what, you know, these solutions may offer. And this is a perfect solution for sensitive and confidential data, you know. And that's how we started this whole thing, and we started to approach some people. When we go to law enforcement, we found a very, very specific usage scenario, which, you know, no other solution can satisfy because of some of the rules that they have to follow, right? So these compliance and regulatory type environments, policies extend outside of government, you know, and so we are definitely targeting, and we see applications in the commercial space as well.
Yeah, and that's an interesting point. You mentioned there are questions, and, you know, are people satisfied with the existing solutions yet? One of the questions that comes up, or actually, this is the question that I bring up at a lot of events that I go to, is this question of device trust that I spoke about earlier. And an interesting thing that I always ask is, who's running antivirus or anti-malware on their phone? And if there are like 50 people in a room, then maybe 3 or 4 will raise their hands. And I ask, who's talking about putting antivirus or anti-malware on their user's phone as a part of their deployment? And I don't think I've seen anybody raise their hand yet. Actually, I'm curious, out of the four of us here on the phone right now, are any of you using antivirus or anti-malware on your phone?
I'm not.
On the phone? I didn't even know that was a thing. I'm being serious, Dave? Right now. Like, can I download antivirus for iOS? And what the hell does it do?
Well, so with iOS, if it's an unmanaged device, it's a bit more difficult, because if it's managed, of course, it can easily see the list of other applications on the device. But this is a major open question in the EMM space. Like, will this become a standard thing? Like, 2 years from now, will we all be saying, like, oh yeah, you need this mobile anti-malware on your phones, or what? So that's a big question mark right now. You know, when we talk about the ways to get around that, of course, there's your one of your VMI use cases right there.
Yeah. So I guess. So if you look at VMI, take a step back. I guess VMI kind of is in the early phases in terms of, like, market adoption, to where,
yes,
VDI was, you know, in like 2007, where,
yeah,
there's probably, I would imagine that a lot of people get the concept. Like, if you explain the concept to someone, they're like, yeah, I can see it. That makes sense. I don't know. I've got other stuff to look at. I mean, I guess you need to get to the point now where you're actually being part of the conversation when it's like, hey, we're looking for, you know, a quote EMM solution or a BYOD solution, and they're looking at sort of more traditional EMMs that are putting agents on the phones and all that kind of stuff. And you need to get yourselves in that conversation, I guess, is sort of your next step.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I think there are certain areas we're getting into the conversation. It's interesting you should mention it, because if you look at the state of the enterprise, when I say enterprise, I mean commercial and government. We recently did a survey through the Poneman Group, Poneman Institute, I should say. There were some great insights that came out of it. A few things that we found was that there was no centralized you know, policy or strategy making organization or initiative within these environments. Literally, line of business leaders and teams were making decisions on mobile policy and mobile strategy, right? So when you walk into an enterprise, you know, you have, you know, a very disparate set of policies and, you know, strategies that are strewn around the place. That's one thing that we found out. And the other thing that we found out was that even though people were worried about data loss and theft, malware infection on the device, and et cetera, they didn't have any budgets as such. They didn't find that there was enough budget to do this. But people had implemented solutions like NVM, secure containers. They found that BYOD is important, you know, all those different things. So there is a huge, you know, it's a very complicated environment when it comes to mobility. And I think what enterprises are doing are being very tactical and trying to approach that rather than stepping back and saying, okay, what is it that I'm trying to do here, you know, based on some of the objectives that I have? So I think when we start to get into that conversation, you know, people are still mired with today's solutions that might be out there, which are more device-centric, but there are, you know, pockets, if you will, where we can identify where people are saying, you know, VMI makes sense. In fact, this survey that we did came back and said a lot of folks felt that virtualization of the mobile device or mobile apps is a very, very important step towards securing confidential and sensitive data.
Yeah, Brian and Gabe, since you said that, you know, if VMI today is where VDI is was in 2006 or 2007. If we could look in the crystal ball and it's 2020, it's the year 2020, what are we doing with our mobile endpoints? Are we managing them? Are they all VMI?
You're asking to go 6 years into the future. I mean, I don't know if we can go that far out, but I'm trying to.
Brian, do you have any thoughts? So the concept of managing devices that just has to go away. I mean, I feel like that's sort of the trend, and I'm speaking broadly, not even necessarily just with mobile devices,
yeah.
But you know the concept of managing devices is going away. The concept of companies wanting to, you know, the concept of employee freedom and employees being able to choose whatever device they want, you know, that's here to stay. So those are given. So, well, I say let's assume that those two are given. And if that's the case, then what else is there really, you know? And I don't know what the actual delivery mechanism is for the secure environment, but I feel like it has to be self-contained. So I don't want to manage, because to me, even still, you know, like using the admin API for Android or putting the, what do they call them in iOS anymore, Jack? MDM profile or whatever.
Configuration profile.
That just seems like, that's like this year's domain join. I mean, that's like domain join for mobile, right? And that's fine. It's sort of a good halfway step, you know, but I really feel like it's got to be a self-contained thing. Like I drop an app, you know, air quotes, onto the device, and that app is a peer with all the other apps on the device, and that app, within that app, I have all my work stuff, and it's secure and, you know, gives me everything that I need to do. And then what that app is doing by itself, I don't care whether that app is redisplaying another mobile environment from far away, or if that app has its own stuff inside it, or I don't really care about that, but I feel like it's got to be just kind of completely self-contained within one app that doesn't, you know, require extensive hooks into the device. And again, I'm speaking for desktops, laptops, mobile, like that's kind of for everything.
So I think in my view, I don't know whether I can look that far ahead and for an app perspective, but I have two thoughts on that. And the first thought is that I think there is other technologies that are coming into play that is going to help you get your task done. Today we're talking about apps. I think at the end of the day, you're trying to get a result, get something done, right? For example, today if my flight is delayed or my flight is canceled, I have to either call somebody or I can go into an app, you know, find out where my next flight is, can I book it, and things of that nature. I think we will be in an environment based on, you know, the integrations on the back end that those things automatically happen for us, right? So that is something that I see. The second thing I think is that with mobile devices, I think that sheen is going to wear off. It's a new toy right now. I can even remember, you know, when the iPhone 4 came out, or even the 5 came.
Let's see. Are you still there?
Brian's here.
Gabe's here.
Justin's shaking his head. Is he connected still? Yeah. All right. Well, anyway, so
we'll get him back in a second.
Right now we talk about how it's the application that dictates everything that we do. You know, it's if we have to use this app, and in order to support that application, We have to do very specific things. And if we in the future, what I think Ashok is saying, you know, we're not even going to care about the app. All we care about is the result. We just care about what the app did. Hey, Ashok is back, and it sounds like he agrees.
Good, because we were going to say that you agreed with everything we said anyway while you were gone.
Oh, okay. I didn't even realize I was gone. I was just talking into the phone. No, the point I was trying to make essentially was that these devices, you know, as they become more and more ubiquitous, a sheen's going to wear off, right? They become just another endpoint. And you go back to the same question of data security, right? Is my data secure? I mean, even today, for example, one of the things that we found with this VMI piece is that I can go use an app like SP Connect, for example, access the backend, go open up a document, work on it, read it, do whatever, and then I can store it away. When I go back home, I can fire up my laptop, you know, VPN into my network, go to my SharePoint drive, pick up that document from there, right? And so I'm able to do those kind of things from two totally different endpoints without missing a beat, so to speak. So I think at one point, I mean, you know, at this point, what I cared about is not, hey, I was able to access it via my tablet. That was not what my intent was. It's like I was able to work on the document and secure somewhere, and I didn't miss any work. You know, I was being productive.
And that's the thing. So really, the future is about the data more than it is about the applications. Because we still need access to that data. Even to get the result, we have to put something into something to get the result, and that first something is data. And I mean, that's something Tim Mangan's been saying that for a decade now.
I think it's always been about the data. I think we get distracted now and then, which is good, but we got to go back to the fundamentals.
Well, it's funny. We were talking about like all the contextual things that happen for us on our own. And I found myself, I'm thinking, I can still sort my own email better than a machine can learn to sort my email messages. But at the same time, when I get automatically checked in for the flight that I have tomorrow, that's like 24 hours from now during the podcast, and like, I realize like the irony of me having that thought exactly at the time like that like United Airlines whatever is doing, I don't know what was going on. I just know that I'm like checked in for my flight, whereas like, you know, a few years ago I'd have to go do that at the airport or go log online. Like here it is, and it just happened on its own.
Well, we said the same thing about, I mean, yeah, I guess we said about all technologies. The promise is big at first, and the technology doesn't really live up to the hype. But yeah,
and you say,
look at the email. Like, okay, so the first step of Gmail is they were doing spam, and I don't know. I'm sure we all use Gmail. Like, do you ever check your spam folder? Do you get spam by mistake? I think that never happens. And then the second step to that, okay, now they're going to do, like, I use the priority inbox from Gmail, and I don't know how often, if ever, I have to go into an email that I actually care about. Like, I have to go digging in my non-priority box to find a mail that I need, you know? Which is funny, because my regular inbox may as well be my spam folder, because I just never look at that. I only look at priority inbox. And maybe once every few months, maybe. I've got to go digging for mail. And when I go dig it and I click that was important to me, it never happens again. And I don't know how they do it. It's not just based on sender. It's I don't know what they do. So the technology gets better sort of as we as we go along, I feel like.
Yeah. That's a good point.
I was going to say question. So questions posted about the remote hosted Android. Ashok, is Raytheon doing anything to that? Like the question is, are you adding another layer of security into that Android, kind of like what Samsung does with Knox, or is it like the regular open source Android, or what actual sort of version of Android lives in the data center, and do you do anything to it?
So no, we have not done anything to it. It essentially runs in an SC Linux environment back there, and then you know we use the kernel. We essentially have an Android environment back there, that essentially runs these apps. We have not done anything in order to lock it down or any of that nature.
And obviously, then anything else that works with Android for additional security, that's all fine. Basically, if it works in Android, it works in your environment.
Yes, that's correct. It will work in our environment.
And it occurs to me again, these are advantages of server-based computing that we've known for years. But it's funny, like each one of these old advantages that we thought of, that we've been talking about for VDI and terminal server for years, you realize like, oh wait, you can do this for Android as well. So of course, Android is optimized to be, and mobile OSs, they're optimized to be easy on the battery and easy on the bandwidth. But when you're developing applications that are running on data center Android, hey, there's no battery limitation. Sky's the limit. And then our remote connection down to the client device, well, that's the same as always. So again, nothing, not a new concept, but when you realize that, hey, now we can apply it to VMI as well, you can think of some new use cases where it'd be cool.
Yeah. I think there's one thing that I'll just point out kind of, related to that. One of the things is that, with the BYOD and all kinds of other efforts that are going on, initiatives, if you will, enterprise IT seems to have, at least they feel that they've lost control, right? Because now the devices are coming in, they don't have this very step-by-step process of trying to onboard a new technology. Now all these people are bringing in these devices. Actually, with the VMI concept, if you really think about it, it gives back control to the enterprise IT folks in one way, and that is that they decide what apps can run in that VMI, enterprise apps. That's what the end users will have access to, right? They can download any app if they want on the device, there's no way of that getting back into the enterprise, so the compromise is limited there. But I decide what apps, can get on the VMI as the enterprise IT guy.
And so, I know we talked about this before in the past couple shows, but the solution, if I buy it, you deliver it how is a VM or something like that, and I run it in my data center.
Yeah, basically, you can download it from the apps. Yeah, you can download it from the you can download the client, if you will, from the app store, and then we have an out of band provisioning process where you just get provisioned by the enterprise and then you're ready to go.
But then from the IT department, from the back end, I buy a server, I install. Mm-hmm. Do you install bare metal so it's got your kind of Linux image on it, and then that runs VMs for all the Androids?
That's correct. We provide the entire software stack, so you're just ready to go from there on.
Is it kind of the same as, like, do I have personal images versus shared images? Like, I actually create sort of a gold Android image, or how does that work?
I have to get back to you on those details of that particular thing. I don't know the exact details behind it.
But the concept, though, is that I've got, instead of managing Windows VMs, I'm managing Android VMs. So
that's correct. That's essentially what it is. I'm essentially managing, Android VMs, applications within that.
Yeah, and then anything that's, I can sort of get that up and ready to go and update versions and, you know, all that kind of stuff.
Okay. Okay. Now I understand your question. Yeah. I'm sorry. Yes. Yes. That's essentially what happens. Just like in the VDI case, every time I'm spinning up something new.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, since you're a secure solution for different, you know, network security type things, this is not hosted in the Raytheon data center. I get the software and I put it and I'm running my Android images in my data center.
Yeah. You essentially can host it in your data center if you want. We're also looking at how we can enable this, you know, over the cloud.
Yeah.
So, you know, if there are people who say, hey, you know what, I don't want to host it myself, but I want you to look at it from the cloud, we're looking at options to see how we can enable that.
What is that called? DAS for mobile? It's called like Android DAS? As? Like ADAS?
Well, actually, right now, you've got the VDI pieces when they're hosted like that. They call them desktop as a service. Right. So, we need to come up with a name that connotates this piece. Actually, we came up with the acronym for virtual mobile infrastructure, VMI. So we'll just have
good job with that. That's caught on.
Yeah.
So it's VDI as a service, VDAS.
Yeah.
Or VMAS.
Yeah. VMAS as a
service. But that'd be cool because, you know, like, I mean, yeah, you look at a tech target, you know, like us. We're I don't know, in like 20 countries, 700 people. I mean, we don't need to be running this stuff on our own, you know? Like, as a concept, I love this concept.
Right.
And, you know, we've got users with Android and we got the blend. I like the idea of just, it's like DAS, but for this, and I'm paying, you know, $15 a month per user or whatever, and that's the hosted Android environment, and it's there, and it hooks back into our, you know, all of our back environments, which are probably all cloud hosted, and
right.
I have to deal with
that. I mean, that's absolutely correct. I think one of the things that we're expecting is that because the nature of the solution, I mean, if you're trying to do this with email and contact, yeah, sure. But I think people are going to be running some apps that deal with sensitive and confidential data. And if you know, history is any precedence to this, you know, there's going to be a little bit of a pushback from people saying, hey, I don't want you to really host my sensitive app, you know, because it's accessing sensitive data. And then, you know, you probably will see a migration from there on.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and it depends on the company. Like, come on, we're TechTarget. We don't have sensitive data. I mean, let's be real. We got customer lists. Everyone's got customer lists. We got financials. Yeah. Everyone's got financials. I mean, you know, and like all that stuff's in the cloud anyway, like from every company in the world. So, you know, I can understand like the three-letter agencies and the government agencies wanting to host it themselves, but I imagine that is where it becomes a choice. And, you know, like you buy the software and here's a license, and if you want to do it yourself, go for it. Or if you want to pay a few bucks a month per user, then for us to host it, or for a DAS partner to host it or whatever, then, you know, that's an option too.
Absolutely, absolutely. From our engagements with prospects so far, we've seen both cases. You know, people ask us, hey, do you host it? It's like, no, I'd rather do it myself. Again, it comes back to some regulatory compliance issues and things of that nature.
So another question in the chat is about the Android apps. The question is, do you build your own Android apps for the solution? And I guess I'll break that in half. So the client apps, you've got the client for Android, the client for iOS. Those are downloaded from the public app stores?
Yeah.
Yep. And you guys built those?
Yep.
And then do you have any sort of in VM apps that you have
we,
up the back end?
Yeah, we do provide some basic apps, a browser app, email app, contacts app, calendaring app, and things of that nature. And if I'm not mistaken, there might be an app for SharePoint as well, the SV Connect app. So we provide some basic rudimentary apps, you know, with the solution.
Are these more so than the apps that are built in? Like, because Android has a browser, so do you have your own browser or more secure version of the browser, or you're talking about like when you get Android, it's because it has its own calendar and browser and, you know, all that kind of
stuff. Right. We pretty much, it's pretty much the same thing.
Yeah. And then, so again, at the end of the day, it's kind of like, I guess, and again, the analogy to VDI, where you provide the Android OS, you know, container securely delivered to any clients, and then what they do with that Android inside it, that's up to each customer.
That's correct.
Yeah.
That's correct. They can download apps from a public app store if they see fit. They can modify it if they wanted to. They can write it from scratch. They can host whatever APKs they want in the back end.
Yeah. So Our time's up. That's crazy. It went really fast. So, Ashok, I don't know if there's any sort of final thoughts you have or anything else that you wanted to hit on that we didn't cover today.
No, basically, I mean, this is great. Thank you very much for inviting me. I mean, it's been great talking to you about this, and it's a very exciting space as we go along. I remember, you know, when we first started the podcast with you guys, you know, in the beginning of the year, you know, we were introducing the concept of VMI, what exactly it is, and, you know, is there any, you know, application for it outside of Intel and defense? And within that, within the period since now, we have hit upon quite a few use cases and usage scenarios, not just in government but also outside. The second point is that we're starting to see people, kind of getting warm with this concept. You know, yes, they're still looking at it from a device perspective, but I think as people start to look beyond using these devices for, for apps other than email and things like that, you know, this concept is starting to, resonate with a lot of people. And, we do expect the next time we speak, there's going to be real customers who are using it, across the board and things of that nature.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm sold. I mean, I think I said that on the last show. I believe I never actually heard of this concept before the first podcast. I was at Gabe's house. I remember that. And
We both came away from that. We both remarked how familiar the messaging was to what we were doing, you know, a decade ago, but how fresh it seemed because we're talking about mobile applications. And I mean, it's the same story, and there's nothing wrong with that. It's, you know, we can get the applications off the devices. We can make sure they're secure. We don't have to worry about the endpoints. It's the same story all over again, and that's really awesome. And I love it. I think it's amazing.
Yeah, I remember coming out of that and being like, you know, this might actually be something. and I'm on board. And I think we're seeing that also, because like I think other vendors now are starting to talk about this as a concept too. So I think this is going to be. This is a thing. There's the tweet. VMI is a thing. It's legit.
I'm glad to hear that. I think the concept's going to catch on more and more. I mean, we are very confident of it, basically because of our engagements that we've had with large enterprises, both commercial and the agencies.
Okay, so next steps. I go to trusted.
Yeah, basically yes. Raytheon.com/cyberproducts.
Yeah, okay. Raytheon.com/cyberproducts. And then, yep. You've got evals, downloads, play with it, get it running.
Yeah, basically, if you've got a lot of downloads, you've got videos, you've got white papers, data sheets, and everything like that. And then just give us a call if you want to do an eval, you want to learn more, you know, and we'll be happy to, you know, just engage with you, find out what your usage scenarios are and how, you know, you may want to approach that.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Ashok Sankar, the VP of Product Strategy Management for Raytheon Cyber Products.
And thank you, guys.
Yep. Thank you, Jack and Gabe. And I guess we got this podcast. We got the first two, the first two podcasts in this series. So we're talking about this. And we're looking forward to, this technology continue to develop. So thanks, everyone, for your time today.
Thanks.